Are you ready to unlock your inner radiance and tap into your power and your energy from your soul within? Today, we are talking with Amy McCree. Amy McCree, she is a best-selling author, holistic health expert, and medical intuitive. Welcome back to the Empath and Narcissist podcast, where I share messages about spiritual healing from narcissistic abuse with human design. Because I believe your karmic experience has awakened you to your authentic soul, you just need the map to call your power back. I am your host, Raven Scott, and I'm an author and trauma-informed human design reader. Aura Alchemy. Learn to sense energy fields, interpret the color spectrum, and manifest success. Imagine a guide that can lead you on a transformative journey, helping you understand and harness the vibrant colors and patterns that make up each and one of us, each and every one of our individual auras. So this book walks us through that. It's a guide to do just that. And it's the key to help unlocking the secrets of your aura and helping you radiate your true essence out into the world. And healing and being suppressed by a narcissist, that is our aim and our goal here, to help you empower to shine your unique light out brightly. And that means understanding your aura, knowing how the aura works, and allowing your aura to project out. And in human design, your aura is all about, is it a more of a enveloping, warm, and inviting aura, like the generators and manifesting generators? Your aura as a projector is a probing aura, so it kind of grabs people out like a magnet and pulls them in. And the manifestor's aura is actually repelling aura. It is, let me do my work and don't interrupt me, aura. And the reflector's aura extends up to 3 meters around. And the aura really tells the reflector, is this a comfortable space to be around, and what's happening in the energetic field in this space, in this area? So let's get into auras with Amy McCree. She has over 23 years of medical intuitive experience and is on a mission to teach people how to raise their vibration and live a happier and healthier life, especially with her new book. Hello, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Raven. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you about auras. This is such a cool topic, and this is something that I am a huge advocate for all of our empaths here, protecting and shielding their aura from all the negativity out there. So this is going to be good.
Yes, we have lots to say about that.
I know.
That's for sure.
So you are a medical intuitive. Have you heard of Anthony W., the medical medium?
Oh, of course. Who hasn't?
I know. There's still people who haven't, but yes.
I mean, I think it's been everywhere for a long time.
I know. He's still really going hard and helping people.
Helping a lot of people.
Yeah. It's helped me. I went through a time where I did his cleanse, and I was like, I feel like the most fit and like best shape in my life when I was doing
it. Yay! Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. There's just That's so awesome. Much stuff stuck in us. Toxins, all the heavy metals and all of that. Like, and energy too. Do you think that plants and all of that helps aid our cleansing of our energy? That's just a random question.
Yes. So in the book Aura Alchemy, and throughout my, 23 plus years now as a medical intuitive, we use a lot of different plants, whether, for the aura side of it, for smoke cleansing, and my work as a medical intuitive, a lot in terms of what plants will help balance and attune the frequency of the body and its energy and the aura as well. In our land of empaths and whatnot, not only, am I in that direction, HSP, all that, I also have synesthesia, which is kind of a mixing of the senses. And I know for some people it can be a little challenging and disruptive at times. I've learned to hone it and kind of control it. But the thing that's really cool about it is when I encounter a plant, whether it's, out in nature or dried and for usage either in an infusion or as a smoke cleanse or whatever, a supplement, I experience a whole host of intuitive input. And so it helps me as a medical intuitive to click in to see what will bring balance back for people. So plants are our friends on myriad levels.
Absolutely. I love that. I love always connecting. My kids always tease me. They're like, "You're like the plant lady. You have this herb and that herb, and you're just like cutting it and you're just putting it in tea." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what it's
Yes, of course. That's what it's for. Every day I do that. Every day in the garden, I also try to consume freshly grown flowers, plants, whatever, flowers, leaves, stems, fruit, whatever, seeds occasionally.
Yes. It's so good. So, how did you even get on this path of being a medical intuitive? You've been doing it for 12, 23 years, right?
I have, yeah. When I was 18, I was in college and I was working as a nanny simultaneously. I was in college for education and I nannied for this family who had five kids, this British family, really nice. And like all the kids were either sleeping or at school and they didn't have TV. They were like very crunchy.
Yeah.
So they had a huge library, so I found the book Jaguar Woman by Lynn Andrews, which is a really good book, and it turns out it wasn't her first book, but Lynn Andrews wrote, she's recently passed, and I did send subsequently in the last 5 years to get to talk to her and connect with her, which was cool too. But she wrote a lot of books about her work with some American Indian teachers that she has, and the Jaguar Woman book was about her trip to the Yucatan Peninsula and her experience with the shamans there, and some of what she was experiencing as I was reading, I was like, I've always done that, so it gave me the word shamanism to go learn and start training. Initially, with the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. And through that, I met my late medicine teacher who initiated me into an oral tradition that she, had received and had been passed down. And so that's kind of what started me on my path. That was a foundational basis. And then through my own work and different experiences, healing, I landed as a medical intuitive. And that oral tradition and that lineage is based on a seven grandmother structure, grandmother spirits. And I actually teach a class called Spirit Writing with the Grandmothers of the Seven Directions now. So I get to share that oral tradition that was, passed down through many generations and that has this intention of really, it was passed down to continue to share it, to proliferate with everybody, but more, I think, maybe with women to empower women. So that was the start.
Wow.
And now, that was probably 28 years ago. It took a while for me to start working with people, but I was really fortunate to have a great teacher. And I think that that is so key. And there's less and less of those people, at least visible in the modern world. They're probably here.
They're here, they're just
So,
hiding, yeah.
yeah. And hence why all of us empaths want to go move to the
Yeah.
woods, because it's a pretty intense world, So,
It is.
it is.
yeah.
So, do you think
So,
that
do you think
that's so
that?
amazing? I mean, that sounds like a dream to be able to have all those connections
All those
and
connections.
being, passed down and learning from
Yeah,
the
it
wisdom.
was just, a serendipitous, lucky being at the right place in the right time and everything that's unfolded since,
Yeah.
almost 30 years
Yeah.
later. Yeah.
And do you think that our health is directly correlated to like our aura? Because a lot of times we think health, we think our body, what's already manifested out, like a symptom. That
Right.
usually means that it's like a real problem once it's manifested into our bodies.
So I think of it in two directions. I talk about that we are human projectors. And so, first of all, our internal energy state, which is largely created by the movement of subatomic particles called photons through our body, which are just light. And those photons also comprise what we call electromagnetic force or fields. So all these photons moving through our body, which make everything happen, the thinking, the breathing, the gesturing I'm doing with my Mediterranean ways, all of that is the result of the movement of photons, which also has an electromagnetic field. So initially, we're a human projector. Our energy state, our vibration, our frequency projects out through the lens of our aura, which is a composite electromagnetic field generated by all of this movement of photons in our body. And then that goes out into the world. So if our frequency is high and the lens of the aura is sort of clean, then our projector's working great. So that's kind of how I think of the outward direction. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about the health, states of health, absolutely internal frequency generated by our thoughts and those movement of photons, which include feelings, neurotransmitters, everything. That's thing one. But then also our experience with our external environment is another piece. In traditional Chinese medicine, we talk about a type of energy in the body called Wei Qi, Wei, which means external qi. And it's the layer through which we interact with the rest of the world. So if we do find ourselves in low vibrational, low frequency, bad vibe, essentially environments, that can filter back through and into us. And so that's why for everybody, but especially those of us who are empaths, HSPs, we can use, conscious techniques of essentially just owning our space. So then it doesn't matter what environment we go into, our frequency and our vibe is so imbued through our body, our aura, our life, our affairs, that we aren't affected. And that means our health as well. So it's everything, health and everything else. Health, the money we make, the experiences we have, our relationships, everything is one holistic piece, really.
Yeah, that reminds me of something you wrote in your book. And it says the overall energy of a human being often mirrors the energy of the nervous system. And both of these systems carry spiritual energy. So when an aura feels smooth and even, it's likely that they're spiritually connected in one way or the other. I thought this was really intriguing.
I love that you're reading my book. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, touch on that,
Yay!
expand upon that, because we did talk a lot about triggers and being stressed by an attack by a narcissist or the manipulation. And it just feels like everything in our body is all out of whack when our nervous system's out of whack. And
For
that means
sure.
probably our auras are too open and the arrows have gone in, right?
Well, our nervous system is absolutely the key, right? It's the key to how we feel. It's the, and once again, it's the wiring for the movement of this light or electricity or photons through the body. That's what it is. And all of our body is that as well, but especially our nervous system, it's all about that. The way it moves down these axon fibers that are made of neurons, brain through the whole rest of the body, all of our sensation, everything. So when our nervous system is modulated and feeling great, we're in great space. When we're in pain, when we're in emotional pain, our nervous system is deregulated, basically. So we need to come back to regulation. That's really what we need to do. I use a technique called neurofeedback. It's equipment. It puts some little suction cups on your head. That's really helpful for me. I think our responsibility is really to regulate our nervous system, figure out how we do that. There's a million ways that are free too, you know, all the ways. And then from there, all we really need to do is own our space, take 100% responsibility for ourselves and our lives, and then no arrow is going to penetrate our field. Once we fill our field with our space, our empowerment, our energy, the highest frequency in the universe, which is joy, and we take 100% responsibility for ourselves, our choices, everything, no one can affect us. And until we reach that state, we fake it till we make it. We bring more and more and more consciousness and responsibility to our lives. And then all of that falls away. And then, yeah, do we seal our space when we enter a crowded environment? Sure. But we also fill it. When it's full of joy, when it's full of your power, your own particular flavor, your conscious presence, nothing's going to affect you.
Mm. That just clicked because I remember reading your book and you talking about there's like different aura textures and spaces. Some are open, yeah. Some are dense, some
yes.
are this. And so when you said that, it's like if you're filling your aura with your own light and vibrancy, it kind of like thickens that aura. And like you said, it's like, you know, the word is like, oh, fill your cup. Like that's technically what you're doing energetically.
Like
you're
that.
Filling your aura. And then there's no space for them to hook into or like, you know, narcissists are so good at using your vulnerabilities, like your biggest fears and all those things. So if you're really working on being mindful about them, then they're less likely to fill that space in your aura.
If you take 100% responsibility for letting those, like an outlet plug for leaving that without a cover, if you take responsibility for it, then you empower yourself to change it. I think it can be simple. It may not necessarily be quote unquote easy. It may take consciousness. It may take attention. It may take effort. But when you make up your mind, then yes, your space is filled and it can be filled with whatever you choose. If you like it to be light and airy and have spaciousness, it's okay because it's still yours.
Mm.
And if you like it to be really just like bright light, just blasting everything out, then you can do that too. You know, we talk a lot about like the mutability of the aura in the book and colors and textures and everything constantly changing. But obviously some of us are going to have certain tendencies or also what feels good to us. Whatever that is, we fill up with that. If I want to be filled with like sky blue, puffy poofs of cloud-like light, awesome. I do like that, you know? It doesn't have to be like, you know, rough and tumble to fully own and hold your space.
Mm, no spikes up. Now that brings my other question to mind about people who are unconscious about their actions, people who may be toxic, narcissistic. What do their auras look like if you saw them and you kind of read that? I'm sure it's easy for you to spot them, no?
I don't look at non-beautiful things, honestly. So, I mean, not that I haven't seen it, but I have an agreement with my spirit guides that the frequency is high and I talk to guides, you know, that's my job is to talk to spirit guides as a medical intuitive. I talk to spirit guides only who are high frequency beings. And if there's a spirit or a being that isn't that is supposed to, for example, come through in a session, I have spirit guides who relay the message. They don't even come in my sphere. Not only do they not come in my aura, they don't even come in the room or the yard or whatever. Mm. I've got it very clearly laid out. So that doesn't mean I haven't looked, I haven't seen.
Is that something that
you could imagine?
Just a random.
Yes. Absolutely. We can do that together on this interview if you'd like.
Ooh,
We can set
okay.
that right up.
Let's do that at the end.
Yes.
Because it sounds like, well,
Yes.
if you can set up that boundary and have your spirit guides help you,
Anyone can.
we all could, right? Like,
Yeah.
keep
You all
all of the
can.
manipulative people out of our lives and the entities that are not serving us.
Yeah, and just, when whatever we focus on proliferates. So we won't name all that and we won't think about it. Instead, we'll just choose high frequency, high vibrational experiences, people, and everything. And we'll set a really super clear boundary for it. We'll take 100% responsibility for it. We'll know we're empowered, and then it shall be. But to speak to what, those
What they look
people
like.
might look like, it's more trusting your vibe, absolutely, but it's also, people can call it gut feeling, people can call it whatever, people can call it a BS meter. I don't know if we can swear on the
Oh yeah, we can. We can
podcast.
swear. Yeah, we
A bullshit
can.
meter, and if you are really owning your space and taking that responsibility, you will sense that. You will feel that. What is the aura of somebody like that? Like it doesn't necessarily mean it's horrible. It's probably not the highest frequency thing you've ever connected with, but you can feel, and we've all felt that
Yeah.
when even when there's like advertising that's disingenuous or whatever, we can feel when something isn't authentic or something is distorted. So that's some of what you'd feel in an aura, a distortion, absolutely like density, like, darker, denser, low vibe stuff for sure. But sometimes it's not that it's in huge quantity in some of those types that you're thinking of. It's that you need to be able to discern that it's almost like smoke and mirrors, and there's some intention on the other person's part, whether it's conscious or not, to be obscured. And so sometimes that's what you might feel is I'm not getting a clean, clear sense read on this. I'm just going to notice.
Yeah, it's like,
And to
there's something
You know,
off
to send
about that. Yeah.
intention, yeah, and to send intention, you don't engage with that. I don't run into all that. I'm a empath to the nth degree, guys. Like, you have no idea. I don't run into that because I don't put up with any shit. Honestly, I don't. And it took me 20 plus years to really get solid in that. But it's also, like I said, taking 100% responsibility. I can own my space. I can create my life however I choose. I'm not interested in even naming it, let alone interacting with any of that. And I don't.
Yeah, it's very
And you
much
guys
like
can do that too.
I should not have called and reached out to the narcissist while I was supposed to be in no contact.
Right.
So that's like the full responsibility.
Right.
I open up that
Right.
door and that's my bad for opening
Yeah.
it up. Like close it back up and lock it up.
Yeah, and choose more for yourself. You know, it's ultimately all of this owning your space stuff is an internal self-worth thing as well. And it's owning you deserve authentic, pure, high vibrational experiences and take nothing less. You deserve to have what you want, especially if it's, benevolent and everything, which it is. You deserve that. Take nothing less than that.
Yeah.
If that's your boundary, if there's no plan B, oh, maybe I'll kind of let it in. There is no plan. Plan A is you live a fantastic, fabulous life, experiencing the spontaneous fulfillment of your desires and feeling great all the time. Period. That's the only program. If you take responsibility for that, then you won't make those choices. For an HSP
Yeah.
empath, very yin in TCM, I do have a hard line there. And that's why I don't have those experiences. And not that I haven't had them in my younger years to a certain degree. Absolutely. And sometimes, even in ways that blindside you, yeah, that's human life. And not to get into all that, but it's also the shamanics of ancestral energy, ancestral karma, other karma, and all the cornucopia of latency, density, and clearing that we choose to evolve through for some reason during our incarnation. But even with all that, the more consciousness you bring, the more you course correct again and again and again, faster and faster.
Yeah, the course correct. That's exactly it. Because the
Mm-hmm.
first relationship with a narcissist, you had no idea. Then you're like, oh, that was a narcissist. And then sometimes possibly you end up in a second because they're more covert or you're still following into those patterns. And then you're like, oh, wait, but I'm going to get out of this quicker and I'm stronger because I know what I'm dealing with now. Exactly.
Yeah. And you raise your standards and you raise your unconditional love, acceptance for yourself, your worth, your belief in your worth, and then you don't take any crap anymore, basically.
Yeah. So with this
Yeah.
boundary and you being on this really beautiful path, you haven't personally been abused by a narcissist, can I assume, or?
I had one weird thing.
That's is always what everyone says, like, is this a weird, yeah, there's a, that's something weird
Yeah,
happened.
but
I love that.
it took me longer than it should have as a, I don't know, someone who's not, no offense, but 20, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, took me a little longer than it maybe should have to go, wait a minute, no. But once it did, yeah, it did. And I was actually very surprised because my boundaries have been so clear for so long that I didn't think that I would encounter that.
Yeah.
But I wised up relatively quickly.
You're like, that was weird. Moving
I
on.
was like, even me, which I will say, it did help me. As far as helping my clients, I work as a medical intuitive, but I also help people with things that aren't medical. I talk to people's spirit guides. That's basically what I do. Whether I'm looking at a super subatomic level at their body to figure out what's going on with their health or other things with their lives. So I did feel like it brought me some understanding because there are definitely people who come in with those types of questions, and it helped me see, okay, this is how you could like kind of not realized for a while,
Yeah.
even if you're like a super well-adjusted, good boundaried person. Sometimes it takes a little time, but then I got right on the horse of what do we do about this?
Yeah.
And we're not doing this
Well,
again.
that's the thing is like you don't know how weird it is until you've experienced it firsthand because everyone's just so
Yeah.
judgy on the outside. It's like, oh, just you wait, you'll experience something really weird. You'll be like, okay, now I get it. Now I get like how
Yeah,
that
it's
can be.
surprising.
They can really surprise you.
Yeah. But you can shift, once you realize you can shift your frequency and not focus on that and instead focus on what you do want. That's my whole thing, whether we're talking about the energy of the human projector going out through the aura, however you want to look at it, getting very, very clear on what you do want. Which is to feel great all of the time, experience ease, joy, and pleasure in all areas of your life, including your love life, including your relationships of all kinds, and whatever else you want to tack on there. Once you get really recentered, clear on that, and you won't accept anything less, then you can shift out of it pretty quickly.
There, in your book also you listed about a whole bunch of different colors. Like there were way more colors than I ever thought imaginable of auras. I was like,
That's a
whoa,
long list,
that's a
right?
long list. There's like tertiary colors galore there.
Oh,
And
tons.
I was
I made a graphic for a TV segment I just recently
Yeah.
did. They asked for a graph, and then so I like, I don't know, I do photo. I have a graphic designer, but sometimes I just do it myself. So I was like in Photoshop, and I was kind of making a more pastel for the look of the graphic. And we sent it to the TV station. They're like, this is too much. Because it's like so many colors.
Yeah, it's not just the
It,
rainbow.
I do love colors. I could have done more, but it was enough.
So you said that auras are mutable, and we're all curious, like, what color is my aura? What color is, you know, like, how do you see your aura? How do you know what color your aura is? And can you change the color?
Auras are constantly changing, including the color. So in the book, I really take you through, this book is full of guided meditations, tons and tons of processes and meditations, including like how to essentially quiet the mind, tune in, and then how to sense your own aura, journey into your own aura, you know, experience your aura, tune into your aura, and then the ways to be ethical and responsible, but, you know, observe other people's auras as well, and what to do with it. So to feel into your own aura, you're really centering within yourself, deepening your breathing, probably closing your eyes a little bit, and then just sort of, you know, I go through it much more in depth in the book, but moving your consciousness out into your aura and experiencing what are those electromagnetic field photon particles. They're a force. They're one of the four forces in particle physics. What do they feel like? What flavor do they have? Do they have a color? Do they have a texture? Do they have an emotional sense? Does a word come to mind? Does a sound come to mind? Does a scent come to mind? Does a taste come to mind? You know, experiencing them, experiencing the spaces in between them, which is what we use for manifestation in part three of that book too. And how it's all moving, it's all changing. Sometimes in those processes, I have you almost like pause button the aura so you can like look at it because it's moving all the time too. So from a color perspective, it's kind of like, and this is similar to when I teach shamanism, which I've done for 23 years as well. It depends on the lens of your experience, how you'd see it. Like, I might sense an aura to be, say, light blue, which is, you know, you have that behind you too, but that's the color I've been kind of feeling today. And I was writing, I have another book due, different project, and I was like writing about light blue. So I think I'm in the light blue vibe. But yeah, but so, you know, somebody might experience that in one aura, but then with a little bit of a different, like, sort of like different glasses, they might see it as aquamarine or something. It might be close though. You know, I think the textures are nice too. And the spatiality side of it is like, does the aura feel spacious? Does it feel like more dense? Not dense in a bad way, but like full. You know, sometimes it's really full. Sometimes it's a little more spacious. I find like if I'm going to have a meeting where I feel like I have to like be a badass or something, it's more full. It's not quite as spacious. It's full of that intention. It's full of that energy, perhaps like yellow or something, you know, colors that might symbolize that. So it's a constantly changing thing. And as far as sensing it, especially as all you empaths, you guys are already there. You're there. All you got to do is like just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths and tune in. You're right there. You already have, you're already like sensitive.
Yeah.
You can perceive it extra easily.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's just like a muscle. It sounds like
yeah, and you just, once you start doing it, you get more used to it, you might start having it happen with less effort or no effort too.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember it was talking about like there's also different textures like sparkly or sparkly. And it sounds like in order to also strengthen and you can tune into your own aura and almost like what's that one Marvel movie where she like standing with her hands on her hips and like her, like there's something like the blue is like this blue and white sparkly power is emanating out of her, and then when she flies
I would love
emanates
that
out of her feet, like that's what I envision, like you can really that with your own aura. Right, like envision like okay, today I really need yellow, like I need this energy.
Yes, you absolutely can.
Oh, that's cool.
And once you start to feel into it, you'll know where you usually are, and maybe then you'll add to it, enhance it. Use your intention to amplify it as well, because that's the thing too about the lens factor, as far as from a standpoint of manifesting what you desire in your life, your internal state goes out through that lens. So the more you empower that lens and create it to be an exponentializer, the more your manifestations come to life too.
Yeah. And
we talk about that in the neutrino manifestation chapter in the book too.
Okay. I don't think I've gotten to that. It's part four, right?
It's more in the third part. Okay. It's the manifestation part. And it's like so exciting to me. Hay House is my publisher. This is my 18th book. So I've written a lot.
I noticed. There's so
this
many
is my first book. Yeah. My first book was Hay House. Uh-huh. And it's so exciting to me that they let me write a book about my theories. Like that neutrino manifestation theory, that's straight out of a shamanic journey. Yeah. I use it and now I get to share it. And it's like tinkering with our subatomic particles in our aura. It's like so exciting to me that I get to talk about. I'm kind of a scientist.
That is so cool.
At heart.
I know, I can notice that. You're like completely trying to explain it like a scientist. Like, this is not just a believe me and this is how it is. You're like, no, I'm proving to you that this is real.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of debunk aura photography in there too. Not to be a jerk or anything, but just from a science standpoint, here's what it actually is. Here's what the aura actually is. And it's not just like a woo-woo idea. It's actually a biologically generated electromagnetic field comprised of subatomic particles called photons that also comprise electricity and light. It's like real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. I love that. And
I was like, Hay House is going to let me write about this. OMG.
Well, I think too, because it's not just a woo-woo book. It's like you're combining the two. And I think that's really what's elevating the consciousness at the moment. And I see that.
Yeah, it's what I've been
trying
into,
to get those skeptics,
you know, 20 plus
off the
years.
Fence. Yeah,
sure. And also, like, giving more when we have, you know, knowledge that then we can amplify and combine with spirituality, intuition, all of these things. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
It's an additional advantage to living the life we desire.
It's like a tool that we have that we've never known we had, because we've been living in the zombie system. And it's like, no, this is a really powerful tool you have. And it's right here, like part of you.
It's right here.
Literally,
it's very
you.
Easy. Yes, it's very easy once you know what's happening, you grasp it, it's right there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a weird question. I don't know if you have an answer, but what do auras look like if the person is struggling with boundaries, and how can they strengthen that?
It's a great question. So then if we were to visually perceive it, the edges would be too diffused. We talk in the book about how there's sort of a defined edge, but there's also like an infinite diffusion to the aura, which it's a lot of particle physics talk in there. It's fun. But if someone's struggling with boundaries, then it's really wavery. There is no correct, there's no edge. There's no like, this is my space, this is your space kind of a vibe. So that's part of what we want to put back in place is this is the, you know, 3 foot out in all directions, usually and roughly. This is the energetic differentiator between my space and the space out there. And when that is wavery, that's part of it. Usually when people have poor boundaries too, the aura is not as strong. It's fainter. And it's maybe patchy, but it's also fainter, has more empty space, which empty space can be fine if it's encapsulated and everything. That's fine. It can be nice to have some spaciousness, but that's not the case in those situations. If the boundaries are poor, it's faint. And so you got to get stronger in who you are and project that out and hold that space, own that space. And I take you through that very, very in depth in the book, owning your space. And you can say, for all of you guys, you can do it now. I own my space. I own my life. I own my home. Even if you don't own it. Like, I own the space of my home. I own the space of my car. I own the space of my yard. I own my life. I own my affairs. I own my space. And you can say, I am me. Sometimes that helps. I am, like, getting in who you are, strengthening your identity. I think one of the things for those of us who are empaths and we're sensitive, I know I came in very unattached to being incarnated. Not in a bad way, but just I'm not particularly attached to this system of duality. I mean, I have to play at it, but I don't feel that attached to it. So when our attachment to our identity is not strong, sometimes there is a waiver. So it is about owning that. While I'm in this body, I am owning my space. It doesn't mean I'm overly attached to staying the same, right, but it means that I'm owning my space and I'm choosing a certain level of attachment in this incarnation until it's time for me to exit it, which I'm happy to do whenever it's the right time for me. So that's part of it, I think, sometimes is we come in a state of non-attachment, which can be good, but to make things happen in the world, we have to own our space to a lot of degrees. And then also to have a good experience of being in physicality, we have to own it.
And then what about when we're interacting with another person? Like what do our auras do to like together, let's say, as
so,
a pair?
Right. Auras in the same space. We go through it so much in the book as far as like crowds and the family aura, but also romance, you know. So when auras interact, they're overlapping, you know. And I mean, even right now, we're having a virtual conversation, but to a degree, our auras are even interacting over time, space, and the dimensions of time, space, and thought. You know, all of my medical, I don't know, 99.9% of my medical intuitive sessions are virtual. And it is like we're in the same room. When auras interact, especially really physically, that's why as empaths, it's kind of nice to do the sessions remote. That works well for me instead of the same room, because then there's more energy. Yeah. And the space is great. I can read it just fine. Thousands of miles away, I got you covered. But, you know, when we're in the same room, especially auras overlap, when they are resonant, when two people are in a complementary frequency, great. Sometimes they're not. You can think about, like, people where it's oil and water. Mm-hmm. They're not resonant frequencies. Sometimes I think there's karmic things or whatever with people, too, in those cases. But when auras interact, it can be beautiful. If you think about when you're in love, when you're cuddling your kids or your pet, you know, it releases good neurotransmitters, but also it can be a really positive, mutually enhancing exchange. It's just when the frequencies are disparate, you know, say yours is high and other one's low, maybe even vice versa. Yeah. Sometimes it can be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. And so maybe during like the first phases when you're falling in love with a narcissist, since auras are mutable, maybe they put off that aura of whatever feels good to you because that's what you need. And they know the game. They know how to lure you in.
Yeah, they're tuned into it. And things are obscured. Yeah. And that's the thing I think for your listeners, as you learn to see, sense, feel, tune into your own aura, strengthen it. Then as far as connecting with others, it's having a real good alarm system, warning bell system, whatever, for when things are obscured, you know, noticing, and even like noticing when you feel that when you engage with media, for example, like, you know, say you're watching someone get interviewed on a talk show. Does it feel like they're in an authentic space? To what degree? And it's probably not for a bad reason in that case. It's just for their work or whatever. But starting to tune up that authenticity detector, like a meter inside you. Mm-hmm. And you could even imagine it, visualize it like a gauge and turn up its sensitivity that you can sense inauthenticity more easily, that you've turned that up in your brain and your, you know, energy body, that you'll get a little ding, ding, ding when there's inauthenticity. Because I think in a lot of cases, those people have some obscuring, which is their, perhaps on some level, their intention to obscure some stuff. But you, all of you guys, all of you folks, do not have to experience it that way. You can choose clarity. You can see clearly. You can say, I'm owning my space. I'm taking responsibility for myself. I've turned up my inauthenticity meter to the top tier right now. I can always change it and modulate it as needed. But when someone's showing up and trying to obscure or hide something that could not, you know, not be good for me, that's not for my highest good, I'm going to see it. I take responsibility for seeing it, for being aware of it. And I ask my spirit guides to also redirect me from those situations, because I'm not choosing to place myself in those anymore. Mm. So that's the other thing.
I mean, your interview is such a perfect follow-up from last week, which was my interview just a few days ago, is from someone who guides you through how to connect with your spirit guides. And so it's
awesome.
Like, she's teaching us that, and then
Yay!
You're teaching us about the aura, and it all interconnects.
It does. It does. That's what a course I taught for many years. I've changed it now. I certify people in my method, but it was meet your guides, because that's step one. Your guides are right there, 100% benevolent, available to help you. There's a lot of things that, in my method, we put in place around the highest good and highest vibrational beings, things I learned from my medicine teacher and have, you know, also adapted and continued to grow. So we really set a lot of parameters. So we're really just in a super high vibe place. And that can also be set for your life. You can set the intention. Everything that transpires, not only in your interaction with spirit guides, but in your life, will be for your highest good according to universal natural law, helping all, harming none. You only interact with the high vibrational people who enhance your existence or are neutral to it. You only date people who are enhancing or neutral to your experience, period. You've set that intention. You own your space. It's in your aura. It's in your space. You've set a clear intention, and then it is.
Can you guide us through that now?
Yeah, let's do it. So, let's do it like kind of call and response. Okay. So it's kind of like some people call it making a decree. So I'll say it, and then all you guys, you folks, just repeat it as long as it feels good to you. I ask that everything that transpires.
That everything that transpires.
In the entirety of my life.
In the entirety of my life.
And existence.
And existence.
From this point forward.
From this point forward.
Before.
Before.
My very highest good.
My very highest good.
And in accordance.
And in accordance.
With universal.
With universal.
Natural law.
Natural law.
Helping all.
Helping all.
And harming none.
And harming none.
I ask that all interactions I have.
I ask that all interactions that I have.
And relationships that I have.
And relationships that I have.
Are enhancing or neutral.
Are enhancing or neutral.
For both parties.
For both parties.
And that is all I accept.
And that is all I accept.
I choose
high vibrational living
filled with ease joy and pleasure at all times in my life
for my highest good.
It is done. It can be that easy.
That's amazing. The power of actually setting those intentions and saying this.
And saying it out loud, you know, is another piece. Setting it, saying it, you can write it out to stuff like that. You can write it out and then say it aloud. And as you think it whether you're hearing it, reading it, writing it, whatever, you think it, you speak it, it resonates out through your body, through your aura, into your life, and you've made it law for you. And that is it, it is done. That's like, that's the law.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you so much for guiding us through that and for being here. Where can we grab your newest book and any of the other books?
So you can get Aura Alchemy everywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, lots of stores. It comes out on February 13th. There are tons of book bonuses. So on my website, amyleemercury.com, there's a banner right across the top that says, you know, get my free gifts. There's 16 free gifts when you order the book. A bunch from me. There's my Activate Your Intuition Atomic Healing Audio. And it's also in a bundle with the Activate Your Intuition Subliminal. So it's something you can play in the background. I don't recommend you use it when you're driving, but when you're like around the house, doing housework, etc., it has things, it have an atomic healing method as far as how we activate the subatomic particles in the body to be receptive to very powerful first person affirmative statements. So in the atomic healing audio, you do that consciously, you run through it, you go into an altered state and you program yourself. In the subliminal, we don't put the altered state part in, but it just the atomic healing part, and then especially the first person affirmative statements repeat over and over with music and nature sounds. So it's just programming you. So those are some of my gifts. And then you have free gifts from 13 other of my author friends. So when you buy the book, you just put in your order number and you get all the gifts.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like there's 13 or you said 15 gifts.
There's 16 gifts. There's 13 from the other authors and then there's 3 from me.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And if you guys like the book, for those of us authors, if you know any of us, Amazon reviews are gold. If we get 200 reviews, then Amazon bumps us up in the algorithm. So
yeah.
If you have time and you feel so inclined, I would be so honored and just grateful for you to give it an Amazon review, especially if you like it.
Absolutely, yes. They all know how important reviews are. I've been asking them repeatedly for mine.
Right? I'll review yours,
yes,
too.
Yes, let's do a review exchange. Absolutely.
Let's
yes.
do it. I'll be right yes. in there. Yeah, I will so review it. My Amazon name for, like, my actual account is different, but I'll tell you. I'll, like, email you what it is, and you'll know.
Okay, sounds good. Nice. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Raven. I'm so glad to meet you, and thank you so much for having me on.
So good to meet
you. I'm excited you're reading my book.
Yeah, I really love it. I'm excited. I'm finally in the juicy parts of, like, well, it's all good, but I'm, like, into the doing of the practicing the meditation part.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. So you can see why I took the time to explain everything, because then we use it. But, yeah, it's worth learning the stuff in the beginning, because then you're, like, really ready to go for
yes.
it.
Yes. It's brilliantly done.
Yay.
So, well done.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was so great to meet all of your wonderful listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to this podcast. Please help us grow and reach more survivors that are seeking spiritual growth by sharing this and tagging me at Empath of the Narcissist Podcast on Instagram. You can even send it via text. However you want to share it, you go share away. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, if you're feeling extra generous, please write a review to the podcast. This really does help in social proof. We're up to 100 reviews. I never thought I'd ever see that number. So thank you so much for that. And congrats to the show. But also, more would be great. So write a review real quick, rate 5-star review, whatever your input is, and let me know. And I actually do read them because I've had a couple low stars when I had a whole bunch of ads before, and I have changed it and I listened and I evolve and I completely reduce the ads in the beginning. So speaking of ads and offerings, you can dive deeper with me through my book, my first book, Empath and the Narcissist. It is a profound exploration of my story, my healing journey, and a whole bunch of different elements that I've discovered on my healing path to help you heal from narcissistic abuse. It helps explain about narcissism and empower you. So you can also listen to that on Audible. My second book is a new book, baby. It is Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And you can grab your paperback of that guidebook. It's a human design guidebook. It includes shadow work with Goddess Inanna. It's more of a deeper dive into your spiritual healing journey based off the first book. I took some of the favorites and I added more things that I've discovered in my journey, as well as moon rituals and guided meditations and the whole breadth of understanding your human design chart. If you do not have your human design chart, you can grab that for free in the link in the show notes. You can grab all these books in the link in the show notes. And if you're listening to this before March 30th, you can grab your free ebook copy to read my new book, Baby, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And go ahead and read it for free, the ebook, review it. And when you review, write a review and let me know you're entered to win. I'll be pulling three lucky subscribers to receive a 2-hour human design reading coaching session with me valued at $500 plus a signed paperback copy from me. So grab your free ebook below to read and review and enter to win. And of course, if you want to dive deeper, you can get a one-on-one reading with me. I can go through your chart, go through what's happening in your life and listen to your story and help you really understand how you can rise out of the situation you're in through the spiritual healings and by understanding your energetic being. And as always, we'll see you tomorrow in an episode. Remember, always keep your unique light shining.
It's tragic, we're not all elastic, but maybe there's magic. Believe you could have it, and I know of sadness, the anxious and panic, the